Finley Jewelers, 134, serving.
That's a broadcasting company presents Western Michigan at Work. The story of another industry where you will find Western Michigan at work. This weekly WKZO feature is broadcast in order to enable our listeners to know more about the industries of their community. Tonight we bring you the story of the Bard Steel and Mill Supply Company of Kalamazoo. And here's your guide, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. Steel. Modern America is built out of it. It constitutes the solid foundation for American industrial life. Perhaps when you think of steel, you think of railroads stretching thousands of miles across the continent, of huge steel locomotives, of skyscrapers made of steel and concrete. Or maybe you think of the steel framework of some large bridge or tower. But steel is used in lots of ways that you and I never realize. There is hardly an industry that doesn't use steel in some form or other in its manufacturing processes. For example, a local bakery uses steel for the racks in its trucks. A grape juice factory out at Lawton buys sizable amounts of steel. And so it goes even in plants where steel products are not made. Tonight our story is about a Kalamazoo firm from which a great many Western Michigan industries buy their steel, and also their mill supplies. It was started about the year 1905 by a man named Charles Bard. At first, he had an office only located in the bank building. Then he got a warehouse on North Edwards Street and branched out into mill supplies about the time of World War I. A warehouse for steel was built in the early 1920s, and a few years later, an office building. Early in the history of the business, Douglas E. Rickman became associated with Mr. Bard in the enterprise. But it was a relatively small business. At the time of World War I, Bard, Rickman, and Charles Harrington constituted the entire personnel of the firm. Mr. Bard and Mr. Rickman have both died, and the business is now managed by Paul Rickman, son of Douglas Rickman, who took over in 1941. Mr. Harrington is still with the firm. He is here with us in the studio this evening, and you'll hear from him shortly. The Bard Company today is a sizable business. It is the only steel warehouse in southwestern Michigan. There are several other mill supply firms, but no others combine the sale of steel and mill supplies. About 24 people are employed at the plant, and 5 salesmen work the territory served by the company. This includes the area east as far as Albion, west to Benton Harbor, north to Hastings and Holland, and south as far as Sturgis and Coldwater. Sales of the company total more than $500,000 a year. The Bard Company does not go in for fabricating or manufacturing. The only exception is bandsaw blades, which are welded together in the shop. And, of course, steel bars are cut to the length desired by the customer. Otherwise, the company does strictly a warehouse and sales business. 9/10 of the sales are to industries. Less than 1/10 are to hardware dealers or individuals. But, in this last classification, an amazing number of people want a piece of steel for something or other. Farmers, men with home workshops, small tool and die shops, and dozens of others come into Bard to buy their steel. On my trip through the steel warehouse, I saw more kinds, shapes, and descriptions of steel than I ever thought existed. Even at that, there are several kinds of steel which Bard does not stock. Heavy construction steel and plate are not included in Bard's line at all. And there was no sheet steel in the warehouse. Mr. Rickman told me this is so hard to get that as soon as it comes in, it is immediately delivered. Orders are 3 or 4 months behind. Even at that, I saw close to 1,000 tons of steel in the warehouse. Bar steel may be round, square, hexagonal, or flat in shape. The bars range in length from 12 to 20 feet, and in diameter they vary from 1/8 of an inch to 6 1/4 inches. The latter, that is the 6 1/4 inch diameter, weigh about 104 pounds per running foot. Then there were lots of flat strips of varying widths and thicknesses. But that's just a starter in the different classifications. There's hot roll steel, which has a rough surface, and coal-finished steel, which has a smooth finish. The latter can be drawn or turned. Then there's tool steel, which is finer and more expensive. I saw three huge racks of this tool steel, some of which sells for as much as 75 cents per pound. The cheapest kind of steel is the hot roll kind, which sells for about 4 cents a pound. I noticed that the ends of the bars were painted different colors. It made the stacks look quite pretty. There were green, yellow, red, gray, white, pink, orange, gold, and blue. These colors indicate different chemistry in the manufacture of steel, and they identify steel of different qualities for different uses. On the railroad siding, which runs into the warehouse, was a big gondola card which had just been unloaded. Most of the steel comes from Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Illinois to Kalamazoo. In the old days, steel was unloaded by hand. It took 5 men about 1.5 days to unload and rack the steel from one car. Now, with the use of overhead tracks and hoists, it can be done by 3 men in 4 or 5 hours. Which leads us into the question of materials handling, in which the Bard Company at present is deeply interested. The firm sells all kinds of such equipment: hoists, chains, cable, casters, lift trucks, skids, fork trucks, roller, and power conveyors. The mill supply line, of which this is one small part, includes an astounding number of different items. The firm's inventory includes at least 8,000 different items. These are all kept in stock. Of course, accounting in such a situation constitutes a terrific job. Here are just a few of the items listed under A in the catalog: abrasive belt surfacers, abrasive wheels, acetyl and hose, adapters, adjustable wrenches, adz handles, air hose, air valves, aligning punches, anchors, anvil blocks, anvils, asbestos metallic gaskets, pardon me, auto body solder, awls, axes, and axe handle. The last item in the book is steel Z, which according to the dictionary is a kind of a bar, steel bar, that is. I inquired of Mr. Rickman why large manufacturers didn't buy their steel directly from the mills. Of course, some of them do buy it that way, where they require quantities. But mills will not accept orders for small quantities, and most plants require so many different kinds, shapes, and descriptions of steel that it pays them to buy at least part of it from a warehouse. In regard to mill supplies, there also is an advantage in buying from one firm rather than from different manufacturers. Suppose you have a materials handling problem. A salesman from a firm like Bard can size up the problem and suggest the kind of equipment the customer needs, whereas many manufacturers make only one certain kind of equipment. Industry is discovering, incidentally, that more production economies can be gained in materials handling than anywhere else. A new lathe may cut costs 1, 2, or 3%, but 25% of all labor costs go into materials handling, in addition to transportation costs on railways, trucks, or other carriers of goods into or out of the plant. I think it's time now we brought to our microphone our special guest this evening. As I mentioned earlier, he is Charlie Harrington, who has been working for the Bard Company more than 32 years. Charlie, I suppose handling steel is pretty hard work.
Well, it used to be, because we did it all by hand. Some of the bars weighed up to 1,300 pounds. Now we do it by electric hoists and overhead track, which makes it a lot easier and faster. I can remember Mr. Rickman setting on a nail keg, sawing a bar of 2 and 15 round shafting, and 2 with a hand hacksaw. Now we do it with power saws.
Are the types of steel sold today any different from those which were sold when you started in?
All we handled then was the hot rolled bars and shapes and a few sizes of cold rolled shafting. Now we handle many more sizes of rounds, also hexes and flats in cold finish, and we did not handle then. Also brass in rounds and hexes, tool steel in oil dies and super dies. We used to handle a lot of horseshoes and horseshoe nails and blacksmith shop supplies.
I expect you've had requests for steel for some unusual purposes.
We've sold it for boat anchors, for making guns, bobsleds, to repair aeroplanes, and making fish spears and ice pods.
Charlie, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, Mr. Dunbar, I was born in Dowling, Michigan, moved to Decatur when 3 years old, and to Kalamazoo at the age of 9. In 1902, I went to work at the old Michigan Buggy Company. to learn the upholstering trade. They went broke when I was about 18, so I worked around at several different places and then came to work for Mr. Bard December the 1st, 1914. I have two boys, one of whom is a salesman for the company, and a daughter living in Chicago, and I like to do a little fishing and hunting in my spare time.
How does it happen you've stayed on one job so long, Charlie?
Well, I like to work, and that's the reason I stayed.
Well, thank you very much, Charles Harrington, and congratulations on your fine service record at the Bard Steel and Mill Supply Company. I'd like to tell our listeners a little about the steel business in general before our time is up. One of the first questions I asked Paul Rickman was whether the recent increase in steel prices we've heard so much about had affected his purchase price. He replied that it had no effect whatsoever. When steel is poured from the open hearth, it becomes an ingot. The first rolling process makes these ingots into what are called blooms or slabs. From this point on, the steel is rolled into different shapes and sizes. Now, some mills made no steel, but bought the ingots, blooms, and slabs, and proceeded to roll them. The steel company increased the prices of these raw materials, you might call them, but made no change in the prices of the finished steel. You might be interested to know also that all steel sold in Kalamazoo is priced FOB Chicago. No matter where it comes from, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Indiana, the customer pays the freight charges only from Chicago to Kalamazoo. Now, this system was set up years ago in order to give the Eastern mills a chance to bid on Midwest business and Midwest mills an opportunity to bid on Eastern business. Actually, the system stimulated competition. But right now, it tends to make sheet steel hard to get in the Midwest. A lot of this sheet steel is made in the East. The demand there, as it is everywhere, is heavy. So why should the steel mill absorb freight costs into the West when they can sell their product near home? I asked Mr. Rickman if he believed the steel shortage would continue indefinitely. Barring war, he said no. Demand has already started to slow down some, though not enough to really take the pressure off. I asked about aluminum and the lighter metals. Mr. Rickman said they were certainly being used extensively, but aluminum production is so small in proportion to steel output that it hasn't affected the steel market much. At the close of my talk with Mr. Rickman, our conversation reverted to the mill supply end of the business. The character of mill supplies changes rapidly, he said. There are old standard items, but also many new ones. 20 years ago, shafting was a big item. Now it's predominantly screw machines that use steel bars in quantity. The distributor is constantly expected to find new tools to do the job faster and cheaper. That's the role played by Bard Steel and Mill Supply Company in stepping up the tempo of American production. Back now to your announcer.
You have been listening to Western Michigan at Work, a weekly program about the industries of this area. This evening, Dr. Willis Dunbar brought you the story of the Bard Steel and Mill Supply Company of Kalamazoo. Next Tuesday evening at the same time, we will bring you the story of the Waterbelieve Paper Company of Waterbelieve, Michigan. This has been another of the many programs presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.